the biomimetic dentist that is changing lives, preventing future dental problems, telling you how not to spend more money on your mouth in the future, defying dentists who only want to drill, fill, and bill. Your dental consumer advocate is Dr. Randy Shoup. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Learn more about the doc and his mission at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for joining me. It is always a pleasure, an honor, when you decide to spend an hour with me. When we're together, you become smarter, better informed, a more savvy medical, dental, health, nutrition, wellness, you name it, we will make you better at it. That is for sure. And today is really good. I told you, for the last couple of weeks, it has been an onslaught of data and information for you. So we're going to kind of tone it back just a little bit. In Dental School 101, why do you go to the dentist twice a year? Is there any particular science, or is there any particular, you know, real reason that you arbitrarily go to the dentist twice a year? I was just in Chicago at a huge meeting. For the first 2 days, I was actually the student, and for the second 2 days, I was actually the teacher. And one of the topics that came up is, why do we have our patients come back to our office every 6 months like clockwork? Is it because that's what the insurance company says? Is it because there's any science behind it? I will give you the absolute straight scoop and ask the expert. I was telling you about the big Chicago meeting. I was a guest at the American Equilibration Society, a fairly elite group of dentists that are absolutely experts in adjusting your bite and restoring your teeth so that the bite fits correctly. And then I was doing the teaching over at the Chicago Midwinter Meeting, and I'm going to bring you the latest and greatest cutting-edge information from those two meetings, and you get to meet my good buddy Larry. Now, I tell you what, he and I met in a blizzard, and I was able to rescue he and his family from a blizzard, and in their undying devotion and gratitude, they became patients. He's going to tell you the story, but first, you know, I am a grandfather. I have a grandson named Asher, have another one on the way. And, you know, I think a lot about how much does he, at a year and a half, year and three quarters, how much does he really pick up or perceive or understand or know, particularly about paying attention to how the world works? It might really surprise you, and I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Note to self.
Time to go under the microscope.
Please make a note of it.
Well, you know, I think about this a lot now in terms of when he is around and we are playing and doing things. How much does he recognize? How much is he oblivious and in his own little sphere and world? How much does he watch other people, watch kids? How much does he take in? This is absolutely fascinating. Listen to this. A new study from MIT reveals that babies as young as 15 months can learn to follow this advice. You always want to try again. You've heard that old expression, in order to succeed, try again. The researchers found that babies who watched an adult struggle at two different tasks before succeeding in that task tried harder at their own difficult task compared to babies who saw an adult succeed easily and effortlessly. The study suggests that infants can learn the value of effort after seeing just a couple of examples of adults trying hard. Although the researchers have not studied how long the effect lasts, they know that it definitely does. there are some pressures on parents to make everything look easy and not get frustrated in front of their children, said Laura Schultz, the professor of cognitive science at MIT. There's nothing you can learn from a laboratory study that directly applies to parenting, but this does at least suggest that it may not be a bad thing to show your children that you are working hard to achieve your goals. You and I have talked about this at length, and I've cited several psychological studies. For example, the single one thing that they can look at, psychologists, psychiatrists, analysts can look at, that can predict the success, the future success of a child, is if that child has the ability to delay gratification. For example, they put a child in a room, the child sits down, and they put a cookie in front of the child, and they tell the child, look, here's the deal. You can eat this cookie right now. Or you can, if you can wait 20 minutes, sit here, just look at that cookie for 20 minutes. If you can succeed and do that, I will give you two cookies. Those kids that couldn't make the 20 minutes, could not sit there and stare at that cookie for 20 minutes without eating it, compared to the children that were able to sit there for 20 minutes, oh yeah, they were chewing their fingers and they were twiddling their thumbs and they were whistling and trying to figure out what the heck to do. But if they could hold themselves off, if they could make it the 20 minutes, they received the second cookie. As they followed those children through life, those children that had the ability to delay gratification were significantly higher in the success category, significantly higher in being ranked or thought of as being successful as those kids that couldn't. We want our kids to have life easy, right? So we try to make everything easy. What this psychological test is telling you that in order for your kids to be able to hunker down and work through a hard job, in order for them to hunker down and sit there and try and try and try and finally succeed, you, the parent, you, the grandparent, need to absolutely demonstrate that behavior. So if a little child is struggling with something and you take it away from them and fix it real fast, boom, 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 and then hand it back to them, they don't learn any lessons about how it is important to keep trying at something. If you, on the other hand, let them struggle with it, if you take the toy and struggle with it too, what the scientists observed is the children are more than willing to keep working at it and trying and trying and trying until they succeed. Otherwise, the kids try once or twice and then pitch it and then go on to something else that they can find is easier. So you and I, even though it doesn't seem like it, are building major important character traits in these little tiny kids, 15 months, 20 months, 24 months, they watch us and they pay attention. So don't make life easy for these little rugrats. You're doing them a disservice. They will thank you later. They won't thank you right now, but they'll thank you later. So there you have all the scoop on how to make your child or grandchild a high achiever, go-getter. They'll never give up. That's how you do it. So now, why in the heck do we have you go to the dentist twice a year? I'm going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. The doc just loves educating you. He'll be here every week, providing the absolute latest whole body health and dental consumer trends.
Okay, people, pay attention because I do not want to have to fail you.
Stay tuned, stay educated, and keep your current dentist accountable to the approach and technology they should be applying, like microscopic dentistry by Shoup that he practices day in and day out. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is certainly a treat to have you with me. Thank you very, very much. If you are new to the program, please pour yourself a cup of coffee. Get yourself a comfortable seat. This is called Dental School 101. We talk about dental topics in this particular segment. We dissect things. We break them down. We give them to you in pieces of information that you can easily handle. Helps you with the information that you need to have really, really meaningful, important conversations with your caregivers, with your healthcare providers, so that you can actually get information that's important to you. You can understand the answers. You can be in control of the conversation rather than being just the recipient of the conversation. And so, you know, all of us know about, and we've all been told when we go to the dentist, well, we'll see you every 6 months. It is ubiquitous. It is a standard. The insurance companies have even picked it up, as you well know, because they'll only pay for, quote, two cleanings a year. And so there's been a lot of conversation, particularly in light of all of the oral systemic health connection information that we have. Where did this come from? Does this really make sense? And is there any scientific validity to the whole premise of going to the dentist twice a year? Let me kill the suspense. Let me not leave you on the edge of your seat for one more moment. There is absolutely, positively zero clinical data, scientific evidence that supports the two cleanings a year hypothesis. It is absolutely a fallacy. It was made up. It was absolutely dreamed up by marketers and advertisers, and it has no basis whatsoever in anything related to anything scientific having to do with your health. I can't put it any more plainly than that. So why do we do it? Number one, we're creatures of habit. You know, we start to get into a mindset or a pattern, and we simply keep repeating it and repeating it and repeating it until it becomes dogma, until it becomes the standard. It becomes what everybody thinks we know, but we don't really know. Where did it come from? Where did it start? I will be the one to be happy to tell you. Who here remembers Pepsodent toothpaste? Anybody remember Pepsodent toothpaste? You know, way back in the day, back towards World War I, in the actually the, you know, early 1900s, 1901, 1902, the whole world of tooth cleaning devices and teeth cleaning stuff, and it didn't start out as toothpaste, it started out as tooth powder. There was a little can, you unscrewed the lid on the can, and if you had a brush or your finger, you would literally, it was almost like a baby powder, you would sprinkle this powder out onto your finger or a brush, and you would then brush your teeth. But it was the Pepsodent company, and they were promoting their new Pepsodent toothpaste. Came in a tube. It was revolutionary. And their big tagline was, Pepsodent gets your teeth brighter by far. And it said, for that Pepsodent smile, use Pepsodent every day and see your dentist twice a year. That, my friends, is the genesis of why you go to the dentist twice a year. It was a marketing and advertising tool made up out of whole cloth by the marketing and advertising company writing ads for Pepsodent. For the Pepsodent smile, use Pepsodent every day, see your dentist twice a year. That's it. And so when you go to the dentist and when you see your hygienist, this twice a year thing has no real relevance toward you, your health, or the bacteria in your mouth, or how healthy you need to keep yourself. Hygienists that are really schooled and trained in the oral systemic health connection honestly pay little or no attention to the every 6 month deal. Now, I know everybody's barking right now. You're all looking at me going, oh, well, wait a minute. It's the only thing my insurance will pay for. And so, you know, oral systemic health connection or not, I'm only going to go twice a year because that's the only thing my insurance will pay for. That's your choice. Help yourself. If you can stay healthy at twice a year, more power to you. If you can stay healthy only going to the dentist once a year, more power to you. If you can stay healthy and never go to the hygienist, more power to you. But the likelihood is you won't. And so when you go there, and if you arbitrarily limit yourself to only two times a year, it very is highly likely possible that you will be in a mode of deterioration rather than even sustaining your health. Because if twice a year worked, then why do we have 75% of our dentist-going population with periodontal disease, some form, early form or mild form or advanced form of periodontal disease? Statistically, 70-75% of those people that go to the dentist have some form of periodontal disease. So if twice a year worked, why do we have that many people with gum disease and periodontal disease? The other part of this whole story that got me going was it was from a toothpaste company. And an old one at that. So I started thinking about what are all the old toothpastes that used to be that aren't. So I went in and started doing some research on old toothpaste. So let me give you a list of old toothpastes, toothpaste companies, toothpaste products. I'll even give you the jingle line on some of them and see if you remember them. Does anybody remember Avon? Yes, Avon. Smoker's toothpaste. It was one of the earliest toothpastes that was out there. How about this one? How about Gleam? G-L-E-E-M. Gleam toothpaste. And it says, for people who can't brush after every meal. See, you only had to do it once a while. It kept your breath right. It's great. How about Great Zeeth's Mighty White? And it's great. Z-E-E-T-H apostrophe S. Zeeth's. I don't know why they couldn't do teeth, but Great Zeeth's Bright Mighty White. And it was voiced by, the whole commercial was voiced by Mel Blanc, the famous voice guy of all the Warner Brothers cartoons. Does anybody remember Kloinos, which happens to be a Greek island? It's a pre-World War I U.S. Branded toothpaste, but it is actually mentioned in the book Catcher in the Rye. This toothpaste is mentioned as a reference in the book Catcher in the Rye. How about McLean's? M-C-C-L-E-A-N-S, McLean's toothpaste. Came out in the 1960s, and it was in part of that whole cosmetic disco era stuff. That's what it was all about. How about NASA Dent, N-A-S-A? NASA had this problem in that when they wanted to put people up in space and they wanted to brush their teeth, there was no place to spit. There's no spitting in space. Didn't you know that? That's common knowledge. Everybody knows you can't spit in space. So what they had needed was they needed a toothpaste that could be swallowed. So in the 1980s, NASA invented this toothpaste that could be simply swallowed, ingested. And some people got a hold of it, and they marketed it out on the regular market. How about this one? This will take you back. Ipana. I-P-A-N-A. And Ipana first in 1901, and they wanted to really kick up their kids using toothpaste, this Ipana toothpaste. So they went to Walt Disney in the 1930s and said, hey, we want you to sparkle this up. And he invented Bucky Beaver. And it was in all of the Ipana commercials, had a little beaver character. You can find this stuff on YouTube. I'm not making this stuff up. And then, of course, it was iPana was famous because it was the very first toothpaste that actually had a disinfectant in it that actually really did something. And then there's Pearl Drops. There's Stripe. It was the first toothpaste that came out and had stripes in it. And then there was Ultra Bright. And last but not least, there was a toothpaste, honest to goodness, called Vote. V-O-T-E. Vote. The adult toothpaste. So there you have it. A trip down memory lane with all those ancient toothpastes. I know a bunch of you remember this stuff. I really do. But the big thing is there is absolutely no scientific evidence that is supportive at any way, shape, or form that you should automatically have your teeth cleaned twice a year. It came from the Pepsodent marketing people, not from science, not from research, not from dentists. So there you have it. Now, up next, like I said, I have spent the last weekend in Chicago, 2 days being a student and 2 days being the teacher. I'm going to tell you what I learned and what I taught right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. Microscopic dentist by day, relentless researcher by night, worldwide leader in dental and overall health commentary, day in and day out.
That is a great idea.
Those are the only kind I have.
He is Dr. Randy Shoup, and this is the Dr. Shoup Show, online at ddsradio.com.
Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And so I told you that for the past weekend, I was in Chicago, 2 days of which I was the student and 2 days of which I was the teacher. And I want to bring you up to speed in terms of the student part. I was a guest. I was invited to attend an organization called the American Equilibration Society. I know the word equilibration probably doesn't resonate with too many people. Equilibration is that process that a dentist does when they go in and they fine-tune and adjust your bite so that your bite is sound, stable, healthy, balanced. It's not tearing itself up. It's doing all of the things it's supposed to do. And so this is a rarely thought about process, but this American Equilibration Society has some of the absolute wizards, gurus in the world of dentistry as its members. And it's really a prestigious thing. I was absolutely delighted to go. I was at the invitation of the president of the association. And one of the things that they talked about at length was, as I looked at the program, the oral systemic health connection. Now, these guys are all technical dentists. They are nerds to the last degree. They only want to see pictures of teeth. They only want to see pictures of jawbones and x-rays and bites and crowns and all this sort of stuff. And that's where their focus is. To have them think about and look at and consider the oral systemic health connection and how this whole process of the stomatognathic system and the human body connects up, I thought was absolutely remarkable. And so as I sat there, I was pretty stunned that they were talking about these topics anyway. And secondly, the caliber of speaker they had presenting the oral systemic health connection was really remarkable. You and I have chatted at length. You know that I've gone through, along with my hygienist Sharon, the Bale and Doneen preceptorship program. And guess who was on the podium as featured speakers? Bale and Doneen. And I got to see them again. Sharon was with me. We got to see them again and reconnect and get updated on some things that they were doing. And so we had this conversation. We know, and we are looking at some new equipment to be put into microscope dentistry by Shoup that we're going to start checking for the A1C protein on our patients. It takes a little teeny tiny finger stick. It takes a little little tiny minuscule droplet of blood, and it runs through this analyzer. It tells people right off the bat if you are at really, really high risk and or are pre-diabetic. And most people don't know. You don't get yourself tested most of the time. Physicians will want you to do a fasting blood glucose in order to see if you are diabetic. And number one, it takes a whole lot of time. It is a huge bother to fast for a day before you have this test. You have the test done over a period of several hours where you periodically go to the restroom and pee in a cup, and then they analyze it. In the more sophisticated tests, you sit there and they take blood samples out periodically. This little finger stick talks about and looks at your regular everyday walking around, how are you doing metabolizing glucose? And it gives a very accurate indicator if you are non-diabetic, pre-diabetic, or diabetic. And we can do it in the office much more frequently than most patients will go to their physician to get it tested. So we're looking at that technology. The other thing that they all talked about at length was comprehensive treatment planning and comprehensive care plans. So often, you, the patient, go to the dentist, you go into there, you sit in the dental chair, the dentist asks you what's wrong, or the staff asks you what's wrong, and you say, well, I've got this tooth right here, or this tooth right there, and you point to a particular tooth, and the dentist becomes incredibly myopic. They focus in on the one tooth, and they, because they're trying to be responsive, they're trying to do the things that you want them to do, and they get focused in on, well, I need to fix this one tooth. They fail to take a step back and look at the more global picture of you as a human being, and it very well may be that that one tooth broke. And it is highly likely that that one tooth broke, not because of an isolated incident that broke a tooth, but because of a system that was breaking down in your mouth. And you, the patient, never get the benefit of the dentist stepping back, looking at the forest, not the individual trees, looking at your whole mouth and your whole body, not an individual tooth, and creating a plan for you that will take you from where you are to a level of health that you probably have never even imagined you could have. 90% of the dentists, 99% of the dentists in the United States are absolutely reluctant to take the time and put forth the effort and expend the energy to create these comprehensive plans for their patients. It's absolutely the lifeblood of what we do, and really, really good practices that dental offices, dental practices that have a dentist that is really driven towards quality. You can tell that in a minute. Because if that dentist really wants to do a comprehensive look at you first before they really start jumping in, that tells you volumes about how thorough, how complete, how much that dentist cares about the quality of the work they do. If your dentist or a dentist is simply happy and willing to throw you in a chair, work on a tooth, pat you on the back, and say, hope you come back someday when your other tooth breaks, I am telling you, you are not in an office that really values quality, values service, and values you as a human being patient. They're looking at you as a tooth that I can work on and bill. They're not caring about you as a human being. And so there's a real game changer for you in terms of being able to know. This is, I told you, you get smarter when you listen to this program. I'm going to tell you the things that nobody else is going to know. You're going to be able to then discern, question, ask, know the answers to how you can determine, is my dental office, is my dental home a dental home of quality, a dental home of values, or is it a dental home of drill and fill and bill? and you can decide where you want to be. A lot of people nowadays are really concerned about their health, want to live longer, happier, healthier lives, and they're more interested in comprehensive care. So at this conference, comprehensive care planning was a huge drum that they were beating. The other thing, and I've told you about this before, and I was absolutely thrilled, and it was honestly one of a big motivators that I wanted to go. Dr. Wong from UCLA was presenting his latest data. Now, you'll remember, I told you there is a guy in UCLA that is inventing a machine about the size of a big toaster, about the size of a toaster oven, that can sit in a dentist's office, and the only thing you need to do is muster up enough spit to fill a little teeny tiny vial that would be probably about the size of a pencil eraser. That's all you need. And you can take that saliva and put it in this machine, and this machine will look for, search for, some chemical and molecular precursors and byproducts of cancer. You can specifically ask the machine, are there any pancreatic cancer cells or precursors or enzymes in this saliva? Are there, and there's probably, there's 100 different kinds of breast cancer, but are there a few of the breast cancer markers in here? Are there testicular cancer, prostate cancer, liver cancer? There are probably a list of over 20 cancers that he has identified, and his team at UCLA have identified, and they now have working prototypes, and they now are getting ready to send this off to manufacture. And within 2 years, there will be this box that will be sitting in, and I promise you it'll be in my office. And for around $45, you can spit into a little tube and be very, very, very effectively and accurately screened for prostate, pancreatic, liver, breast, ovarian, over 20-some different kinds of cancer just by spitting in a little tube. You could easily do this at your dental office once a year. Wouldn't that be amazing? Heck, you can do it every 6 months if you want to. You can do it every 3 months if you want to. But wouldn't it be amazing if you were able to find those precursors, those markers, and find them so early that you would be not stage 3, stage 4 cancer in these circumstances. You would be carcinoma in situ, which is the earliest stage of it. You would be stage 1 cancer, which is very treatable. And most everybody, if you're stage 1, you will recover completely. So isn't that amazing? Isn't that fantastic? And like I said, we are only about 2 years away from having that in the dental office. The other thing I did was I was over at the Chicago Midwinter meeting when I put on my teacher hat, and I was introducing dentists to microscopes. And it was absolutely fascinating to me that the dentists walking up and down the aisles in this massive convention center at McCormick's Place in Chicago, and we were selling them nothing. So in these big convention centers, everybody is selling you everything. And you get kind of weary after a while of everybody beating up on you for, you need to buy this, you need to buy that. We were selling nothing. We were giving away education. And I was representing the Academy of Microscope Enhanced Dentistry in our training seminars that we're doing across the United States, telling dentists, come let us train you on the microscope. We have all of the microscope manufacturers bringing microscopes to these training centers. We will teach the dentists how to use the microscope and absolutely catapult their level of care, absolutely skyrocket their ability to deliver absolutely beautiful pristine, perfect, exact, wonderful dental care to their patients. And you know what? They didn't want to do it. They weren't interested. The people that were interested, and this is where we're focusing our attention, dental students. We can take the entire dog and pony show into a dental school I'm teaching in West Virginia. As a matter of fact, about the second weekend in April, taking the entire microscope team, all of our faculty, we're going into a school, we're teaching, training all of the third year students, all of the fourth year students, we're teaching all of the graduate students that are there in Crown and Bridge or in what's called a graduate residency program, and we're teaching the faculty. Those are the people that are clamoring for this sort of technology. Those are the ones that really see it to be the future of dentistry, and it is so rewarding when you get clusters, four or five or six dental students all hunkered down together, walking up and down these aisles, looking at everything, and their eyes are all bugging out and everything. And you say, hey kids, what school do you go to? And all of a sudden you say, would you like for us to bring an entire microscope training session to your school? My goodness, they jump out of their shoes. It was incredibly rewarding, and we loved it a lot. And so might be a tougher sell for existing dentists. Man, we hate to change. I don't know why it's so difficult, but they hate to change. But the dental students are going to be our ticket into really advancing dentistry microscopically. So there you have it. That was my teaching and being a student experience in Chicago. Now, up next, you're going to get to meet my buddy Larry. I rescued he and his family from a blizzard, and I didn't even have a St. Bernard. He's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Every week, the doc is seeing new patients that heard this radio show. They come into the office for an initial consultation, and then they believe what they heard on the airwaves.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
A real dental difference. Real results. That's microscopic dentistry by Shoup. This is the Dr. Shoup Show, online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
It's great to have you all here. Thank you very, very much. And you all know this is my favorite part of the entire program, where you get to meet a really good friend of mine. And today is probably one of the longest term friends, patients I have. We met in the middle of a blizzard. Larry, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Randy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, thank you very much. Now, this is the other thing that I hate about this is that he has a better radio voice than I do. And so, you know, what am I going to do here? You know, I'm playing second fiddle for the whole thing. So, man, I'm glad you're here. But no, I told the folks a little bit before we got started. I mean, honestly, it was in the middle of a blizzard at 116th and Allisonville Road, and you had car trouble. Your whole family was there. Refresh,
right.
refresh my memory.
We were headed to church in Carmel, I think, and I had an Audi that broke down there at the Shell station.
And so I rolled in there. You've always told people I was doing donuts in the parking lot. I'm not sure that's exactly correct, but it might have been.
I think that's true.
And so I saw that you guys were stranded, and I said, heck, I'll take you home. I like driving in snow. It was an old Chevy Bel Air. It was a beater.
That's right. You took us home. I remember that.
But that thing, that car would go up the side of a wall. I mean, I don't know what it did, how it had traction, but I think that thing would go anywhere. And so when we got out of the car, you offered to say, hey, can I do something for you or whatever? And I think I basically said, you could become my patient and we'll call it even. And we won't tell everybody how many years ago that was.
Well, that was quite a few years. And I think actually our whole family became patients of yours.
I got a bargain on the deal. And so the other thing about it is, Larry is he's retired now, but he had a very, very pretty stellar career as an engineer. And from an engineering point of view, I mean, you're a discerning guy. This guy dismantles all of his own cars and rebuilds them. And this guy, so what is there about me? What is there about what we do? I'm kind of into technology. What of the stuff that we have that you like? Why do you keep coming to me?
Well, you treat us well, first of all, and you always have the neatest gadgets. I think you have the neatest gadgets on the planet. But you treat us well, and you've always kept certainly my wife and myself very healthy from a dental point of view.
Well, thank you very, very much for that. Yeah, you guys are fun. His wife is really, really cool, and son and the daughter and all that sort of stuff. You mentioned that we treat you well. One of the things everybody talks about is my dental team, and they have over the years, just really been supportive. They're pretty much top notch, aren't they?
Oh, I tell you, we really appreciate Sharon, especially. She's a dental tech that really takes care of us.
Yeah, Sharon's our hygienist, and like we were talking earlier on the program with the oral systemic health connection and that sort of thing, we really monitor closely, keeping people not only dentally healthy, but the rest of you healthy as well. So of all my toys and gadgets, do you like the microscope? Do you like the intraoral cameras? Do you like what the air abrasion? I mean, what are my toys do you like?
I just remember, I think it was a year ago, doctor, when I was down in Florida on vacation and started having problems with a root canal that you had done for me several years ago. And I called your office from Florida and you said, well, as soon as you get home, get in here. Yeah, I came in and you went in and corrected that and sent me off to a specialist and had it redone. I can't even tell you how thankful I was, the pain I was in at the time and how rapidly you took care of it.
Well, we aim to please, and so it's really appreciative, especially for, you're more like family than you are a patient or a friend, and so, you got to take care of those folks that take care of you. So, Larry, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and you didn't have to reemphasize that whole I was, a grown adult doing donuts in a parking lot in the middle of a blizzard, but, we got to have her.
I didn't talk about your motorcycle experiences.
Yeah, that's right. You guys are, Larry and his son are avid motorcycle enthusiasts as well. You guys go more for vintage stuff. And so, yeah, I've had a couple of scrapes on a motorcycle once or twice.
Only person I've known that hit a deer on a motorcycle.
and lived to tell the story. It is true. I crushed a deer on a motorcycle and never even went down. I never crashed. It has nothing to do with skill. Strictly, just abject terror and luck. That was the entire formula right there. Larry, thank you very much. I sure appreciate you being with me. Thank you, and I'll see you at the office next time, man.
Okay, buddy.
All right, thanks, Larry. Bye. Well, there you have it. As promised, I told you I was going to take it easy on you today. You didn't need to have writer's cramp and go through reams and reams of paper writing down all the things that we talk about. You don't have to do that anyway. You can always go to ddsradio.com. We have archived there for you all of our programs. We have references to all of the articles that we talk about and cite here in the program. Everything is right there at your fingertips anytime you want it, day or night. So be sure to send your friends there. Be sure to go there yourself if there's any information that you want. Be sure also to contact Microscope Dentistry by Shoup if we can ever be of service or help to you. So many times we get people that listen to the radio program and are at a loss. They are in a quandary. They have been kind of pushed from pillar to post and they don't know where to turn. They're looking for a light at the end of the tunnel. And I tell you what, if they come up, we will do everything we possibly can to make their life better and to turn their dental future around. So it's so appreciated. We so appreciate it, and it's so gratifying to have you with us. So until you and I chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, baby,